Then. Arky had an old Ford pickup in those days, a standard three-shifter, but I got four if you count the reverse, he used to joke, with a squeaky clutch. He parked it where he would still be parking 23 years later, although by then he would have traded up to a Dodge Ram with the automatic transmission and the four-wheel drive. In 1979, there was an ancient Statler County school bus at the far end of the parking lot, a rust-rotted yellow barge that had been there since the Korean War, at least, sinking deeper and deeper into the weeds and the dirt with each passing year. Why no one ever took it away was just another of life's mysteries. Arky nestled his truck in beside it, then crossed to Shed B, and looked through one of the windows in the roll-up door, cupping his hands to block the light of the sun, which was on the wester. There was a light on overhead, and the Buick sat beneath it, looking to Arky like a display model, the kind of unit that shows up so pretty under the lights that anyone in his right mind would want to sign on the line and drive that honey home. Everything looked fine by, except for the trunk lid. It was up again. I ought to report that to the duty officer, Arky thought. He wasn't a cop, just a custodian. But in his case, Trooper Gray rubbed off. He stepped back from the window, then happened to glance up at the thermometer Kurt had mounted from one of the overhead beams. The temperature in the shed had gone up again, and by quite a lot. 61 degrees in there. It occurred to Arky that the Buick was like some sort of weird refrigerator coil that had now turned itself off, or perhaps burned itself out during the fireworks show. The sudden rise in temperature was something else no one knew, and Arky was excited. He started to swing away from the door, meaning to hurry directly across to the barracks. That was when he saw the thing in the corner of the shed. Nothing but an old bunch of rags, he thought. But something else suggested, well, something else. He went back to the glass, once more cupping his hands to the sides of his face, and oh, by God, that thing in the corner was not just a bunch of rags. Arky felt a flu-like weakness in the joints of his knees and the muscles of his thighs. The feeling spread upward into his stomach, dropping it, and then to his heart, speeding it up. There was an alarming moment when he was almost certain he was going to drop to the ground in a faint. Hey, you big dumb Swede, why don't you try breathing again? See if that helps any. Arky took two big dry gasps of air, not caring much for the sound of them. His old man had sounded like that when he was having his heart attack, lying on the sofa and waiting for the ambulance to come. He stepped away from the roll-up door, patting the center of his chest with the side of a closed fist. Come on, honey, take up the slack now. The sun, going down in a cauldron of blood, glared in his eyes. His stomach had continued to drop, making him feel on the verge of vomiting. The barracks all at once looked 2, maybe even 3 miles away. He set off in that direction, reminding himself to breathe and concentrating on taking big, even steps. Part of him wanted to break into a run, and part of him understood that if he tried doing that, he really might faint. Guys, it never let you hear the end of that, and you know it. But it wasn't really teasing he was concerned about. Mostly, he didn't want to go in looking all wild-eyed and pushing the panic button like any John Q. in off the road with a tale to tell.